Hi friends, welcome to my weekly teaching videos. Hey, in a moment I'm going to jump into week three of my teaching, all from my new book, The Promise. I've been talking for a few weeks about living from the promises of God and how to build a life based foundationally on the promises of God. Really great teaching. And this week I'm going to be talking about what happens when our faith fails, when we believe for something and it doesn't seem to happen. I know you've had this. We all have, but we can learn from it and move through it and move into a place of victory, I believe. Good. Let me do a 30-second announcement. You can time me. Starting now. Hey, real quick, if you're not familiar with my ministry, check out the links below. Lots of things going on. Probably the best way of keeping in touch is my email newsletter, link below. Again, if you don't yet have a copy, thank you for everybody who's bought this. We have sold thousands of these already. The Promise by Graham Jones. I have an offer. You can get this for $3 on Kindle just this week, or a paperback dead tree version. And lastly, if you don't yet know Jesus, if you've stumbled across this video, I'd love to talk to you about what it means to start a relationship with Jesus. Drop me a line or a prayer request in the comments below, and I promise you I will get back to you. Good. Boom. So we've been talking and exploring this week about what happens when our faith fails. And in my experience, I've never met anybody who's never gone through a faith failure. Maybe that's you. I'd love to meet you. But for the rest of us, my contention, my goal in this teaching is that we, number one, that we would recover from those things. As I spoke about last week, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And God wants us to live a life of hope. God wants us to live a life of promise. That's what this book in effect is about. And what happens so much is when we go through those faith failures, maybe I'm believing God for a new coffee cup, big deal, whatever, but often when those things don't come to pass, or we experience failure in those things, it's not just the lack of coffee cup that is the result of that in our life. Sometimes when we then need to believe God for the important thing, for the big thing, for the major breakthrough in our life, at that moment, things actually really do, the small failure carries on into the larger failure. What I want to do with you guys briefly today, I want to talk about one of the top five keys in understanding why we fail to receive from the Lord. Let me read a verse in Hosea, Matthew, Mark, Hosea, John. Hosea 4, chapter 6. It says, "My people," to pause, this is not aimed at the world. This is not saying ungodly people. This is God saying, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests of me. Because you have forgotten the word of God, I will also forget your children. That's kind of a harsh, sounds harsh to our ear at times. But think it through. God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Have you ever noticed how many times the concept of knowing God's word is linked with the concept of receiving, the concept of freedom? Jesus said, you will know the truth. The truth will make you free. If you don't know the truth, you'll be destroyed, a lack of knowledge. Jesus spoke about people, if you reject my word, you reject me. And what's going on in the lives of many people is we pray prayers based on our need. We pray prayers based on our desires. We pray prayers based upon our hopes. But we don't always pray prayers based on the word of God. And I want to encourage you, if you've experienced faith failures in your life, take a moment and maybe frankly just come back to the Lord and say, Lord, is it possible that I haven't been giving ear to your word? My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, keep them in the midst of your heart, for the life to those who find them, and health or healing to all of the flesh. And I think so often Satan devastates the people of God because we don't have knowledge. You know, in America, here where I am today, after the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. In effect, the freedom and the liberation of every African slave here in the United States. And yet, there were people for several years afterwards, there were slaves who didn't know they were free. There were people who were free, but they hadn't read the Emancipation Proclamation. It hadn't been read or announced to them. So they were legally free, but because of the lack of knowledge, they didn't experience freedom. And then those who read it and experienced obviously had to step into it, and at times it had to be enforced. But I tell you, Jesus set you free. Calvary is God's Emancipation Proclamation from sin, sickness, poverty, disease, demons, fear, and death. God looks at you and says, you are free. Now, our job, our first job, is to know the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus said, John 8:31, that same passage, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And I think part of the challenge for us, and it's a challenge for all of us, challenge for me, is how do we build lives where we continue in the word? What does it actually mean to be somebody who continues in the word? How do we, rather than try to fit a little piece of, give God's word a piece of time in our day, how do we actually completely reverse that and spend a life in the word and then rather give a little bit of time to eating and exercise and different things like that? I think God's word should be our number one priority. And I think when we will come to that word that way, when we'll begin, rather than basing prayers on like, God, I've got a pain, I've got a boo-boo here, what does the Bible say about that? We come back and we say, Lord, what are your promises? Boom. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know, Fred Price wrote a great book years ago. I think it was called Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption. And in a way, he was talking about people who'd heard the message of faith, but then were using it, or frankly, abusing it to ask God for things that God had never promised them for. Were trying to pray for somebody else's wife, or, you know, 10 jet planes, or a bunch of silly things that God had never promised them in their circumstance. So we step out of faith into presumption, into foolishness, when we don't know God's will. I've often seen this case as well. There's often the situation where somebody's praying for something that is in line with God's will, but they don't really know, they're not certain it is in line with God's will. I'll be honest, for the first few years of my Christian life, I grew up in a church background that believed God would heal, but we were never quite sure if it would happen or not. We believed God could and God would, and that healing was a biblical thing, and of course they were right in that much, but we didn't believe it was a guaranteed thing. We believed occasionally it wouldn't happen for some strange, mysterious reason. And of course, what always happened in that church, not criticizing that church, I honor them, but in every church that teaches that, whenever you teach God heals 99% of people, but occasionally he says no, everybody thinks they are the no. Everybody thinks they are the 1%, not the 99%. And then what suddenly happens is about one person in 100 gets healed, and everybody else assumes, based on that teaching, I drew the short straw, I am the unlucky one, and hardly anything happens. And faith begins where we know God's will. Faith begins when we are certain of God's will. Faith begins when we are absolutely fully persuaded of a matter. So if you believe in God for something today, I encourage you to come back to his word, take the time, do the due diligence of meeting God, of coming to his word, of saying, Lord, is this really your will? Don't find half a verse that if you look at it in the right light might possibly say something that kind of find yourself five verses. You know, I've learned this in my life. Let me give you this one as I finish. If I'm just walking through my day today, I'm going to catch a flight today, if I'm in the airport or whatever and I feel an ache and a pain or a cough or anything like that, here's what I immediately do. Just slow down a second. Think of this through. If I'm, let's say I'm walking through an airport today and I feel some pain, my body is speaking to me. And in a way, I can either accept that, like, ooh, there's something wrong with my knee. Oh, that's a shame. Maybe it'll go away. Blah, 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 blah. I can either accept that or I can superimpose what God says over that. And what I've learned to do every time, imagine I'm walking through the airport today, I feel a pain in my knee. I will do this. I'll say, stop. I literally hold my hands up, five fingers, and go, I am the Lord who heals you. One. I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Two. His word is life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. Three. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Five. By his stripes you were healed. Five. I'll like quote five scriptures and say, that's what I have. Not I'm going to have, not I'm believing for, not one day when God's... No, that's what I have now. Lord, I thank you. I have perfect health now. And I step into praise and joy. I'm not denying what's happening in my knee. I'm denying its authority. I'm denying its permanency. I'm denying its right to stay and rule in my life. Knowledge sets me free. Knowledge takes me out of captivity. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Okay, one last thought and we're done here. But, you know, what does it mean to know something? The Greek word for the word know is the Greek word UNESCO. And it speaks about intimate experiential knowledge. It doesn't speak about intellectual head learning knowledge. To know something biblically is a matter of the heart, not of the head. That same word know is the word that's used when it says in the Greek anyway, Joseph did not know his wife Mary. I won't spell out the details, but just think about it. That knowing means more than knowing. It meant something real, experiential, and intimate. And God wants us to know his word, to know it inside out and back to front. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Selah. Well, thank you, friends, for watching all the way to the end. Again, I'd love to hear from you. If you've got a prayer request or a comment, put them in the comments below. Lots of things going on in my ministry, churches in New England, my traveling ministry. Again, too many things to mention here. I really would encourage you to sign up for our email newsletter. Again, link below. And let me remind you, you can pick up a copy of this book on Amazon. We have an offer on Kindle right now, or you can get the paperback version. Thank you for watching, guys, and I'll see you real soon. Hit the subscribe button if you are on YouTube. Bye for now.